This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always eager to hear from you here. I certainly am. Oh, my goodness sakes, what a pleasure and blessing it is when you call in. You light up my life and everybody else's too. And I don't know, do you like to light up people's lives? If so, give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I like to tell you, we love to have that holy conversation with you. Don't delay, call right away. We want to hear from you today. Yeah, that's part of our little jingle there that lets you know how much we appreciate it when you call in. We're also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there, put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and we'll get it up on the board and I'll address it. We have Michael McCall that's going to do all of that retrieving for us, and we have Matthew Gubensky answering the phones. We have Rich Jesse producing and all of the good people in TOC. We work together as best we can to be able to bring you, well, the very best broadcast that we possibly can bring forward for you. So do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Want to remind you that we're available for you outside of North America as well. Country code 1205-271-2985 is the way that you can call us. And I want to remind you too about something else. We've got a listener comment line. It's available for you 24/7. It's always available, in other words. You can leave a question or a comment for us there. We'll address it on our program, especially if you say, well, this is for Women of Grace Live, you know, and then we get it directly and we can't address it. That number is 205-271. No, it is not. It's 205-795-5773. Have to get my mind in the right gear for that listener comment line. I don't use it all the time. It's 205-795-5773. So it's available for you, and I invite you to take opportunity and make use of it. Yeah, we'll really enjoy hearing from you that way too. On one of those days when we just do listener comment calls, or we mix it in there with some of the email that we receive, you know, it's really very beneficial for you. And hopefully, I think, you know, meaningful for you. I certainly do enjoy it. Now, if you do want to email us, email womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Want to remind you that there's always something happening at Women of Grace in our apostolate. We're very, very busy people striving to transform the world one woman at a time. I want to remind you about our Women of Grace Foundational Study that you can lead or participate in. You can do that oftentimes in your own community, but you can also do it online. We've got lots of opportunities for you to do exactly that. I do want to remind you that I'm out and about and making presentations in different places, and actually Women of Grace holding its own opportunities for presentations. Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is going to find me in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Yes, it is. At Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. I have been there before for this feast day. It's beautiful. Core Bishop Michael Thomas does a remarkable outpouring of liturgical opportunities for his people during this day. It begins with a procession. We have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. If you've never been to a Maronite Mass, boy, I want to encourage you to come and experience what that is like. It's a beautiful liturgy. I will be making a presentation following the luncheon that will come right after Mass, and we're going to be talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're going to be talking about the virtuous life, living in the heart of Jesus. What does it mean to live in the heart of Jesus? right? How is it then that we take the blessings that are there for us and apply them to our own personal lives and to the world at large? We'll be talking about all of that in very practical ways, as well as, I hope, inspirational ways, right there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church on June 7th. All of it begins at 11 a.m. with that procession, followed by Mass, then a luncheon. I will speak. It's going to be wrapped up by 2 in the afternoon. So it's a beautiful, beautiful 3-hour period of time to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to celebrate His most sacred heart and to join in the fellowship that comes by way of it. So I want to encourage you to join us at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church, June the 7th, there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You know, it's not a far distance up and down that east coast of Florida. Get on 95 and guess what happens? You're there. So we do invite you to come from other communities. I'm reaching out to all of you ladies who are women of grace in that area. I know there's lots of you because I know the work that goes on there on that East Coast through the good guidance of so many facilitators and our regional coordinators. So I do invite you to join us. You know, come visit with me. Would love to see you. It's really a fundraiser for Sacred Heart of Jesus, for Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale. So we invite you to come out and join us for this beautiful, beautiful day. In addition to that, I want to remind you that we have our retreat coming up at Malvern Retreat House. When is that happening? Well, it begins with the Benedictine Enrichment Seminar on June the 27th. Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within is the theme. I think it's just an exciting theme. I am excited to be an attendee. The day will be presented by Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, beautiful apostolate, beautiful work that she does through varieties of ways, but most especially through her podcasts. Download that app so that you can listen to Chris interviewing so many wonderful people. She really is what I would want to call, an expert with regard to the women mystics. And boy, I know she's going to have some just wonderful, wonderful insights for us as we gather there for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar on June 27th. That's Thursday, starts at 9 in the morning. It's going to run into the evening hours and resume on Friday, closing out around 3 in the afternoon, just before registration for the retreat that starts on June the 28th, running through the 30th, closing out on the 30th of June. So it's from Friday to Sunday. That theme is Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. And I'm very excited about that theme. I'm very excited to be presenting with Father Ken Geraci and Chris McGregor for that beautiful opportunity right there at Malvern Retreat House. Want to encourage you moms to bring your daughters. We're going to have a Young Women of Grace Retreat Day on this Saturday. Now, if you're traveling and you want to bring your daughter with you, you can. And she can attend the Friday night event and also the Sunday morning event with the women, spending the whole day with the young ladies. So, you know, really and truly, what a beautiful weekend that would be for moms and daughters. So I want to encourage you, consider bringing your daughter. All of the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Check it out and join us for any of these beautiful events in July. It's not up there yet, but it soon will be. In July, we will be having another one of the courses in our Catholic Women's Leadership Program of the Benedicta Institute for Women. The Benedicta Institute for Women is, if you will, our educational outreach of Women of Grace, although everything we do is oriented to education, I just have to tell you. But it's a little more intentional in that it can gain you a certification in Catholic Women's Leadership. We're going to be talking about the essentials of Carmelite spirituality at St. Bernard Abbey here in Cullman, Alabama for a whole week with Dr. Wallenfang. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I was telling you prior to the break about all of the good things that are happening through Women of Grace, and we certainly do want you to join us. We do. You know, our great mission is to transform the world one woman at a time. We hear that and we think, oh my gosh, that's really an audacious plan. And it is, but you know what? If you don't get started, it's never going to be accomplished. And I just figure, well, job. We're going to get started with it, right? Not sure that we're going to end it, but we're going to start it. And that's the kind of attitude that we have to have, right? Otherwise, we never get going for the kingdom. We can look at all of the obstacles, the hurdles. We can look at the impossibility of the situation, but what good is there in doing that? That's going to discourage us. When the Holy Spirit prompts, we move. And that's what we're called to do. So I am encouraging you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you move. And when you move, guess what? Blessings follow for you and everybody else. And it's really great. And I got to tell you what, it is an exciting life. Living this life in the Holy Spirit, following according to the plan of God. My gracious sakes, nothing is more exciting than that. I mean, I can't even express it. It thrills me to no end. Hopefully I'm communicating that by my tone of voice and how rapidly I'm speaking right now. Because I get all excited just thinking about it. We want to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us today. Sometimes I sit back and I think, Lord, you are so funny. I mean, the way in which he operates and works, where he takes us, places we never thought we would go. I mean, in terms of physical location, certainly, you know, and the various venues that he opens up that cause us to travel, all of that. But you never know where he's going to take you in the spiritual life. You never know where he's going to take you in apostolic work. You never know what's coming next. And that's part of the adventure. It is part of the fun of it. It's part of the exhilaration. It's part of the exhilaration of watching the Lord work. I got to tell you, as I say, I think it's just fantastic. We want to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. We have Daisy with us. She is in Texas, and I am eager to see what is on Daisy's mind today. She's calling us from Guadalupe Radio Network areas. Hey, Daisy, how are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I surely can.
Oh, good morning, Janet. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a situation, thank you, with my adult goddaughter. She's in her early 30s, and 4 years ago, she moved in with her boyfriend. And at that time, I had a talk with her. Her mother did, her grandmother, you know, the other aunts in the family. We all talked to her and told her that this was not the right thing to do. She went ahead and did it anyway. Well, fast forward to recently, they were living in an apartment all that time, and she's now they're going to move into a house. And so I've been hearing this through the grapevine, and, you know, she was telling me little things about it, and I just kind of like would not, you know, kind of just waited. But she sent a group text to myself and the other aunts, all excited, saying that they had gotten the house. Well, the other aunts were congratulating her, being very, you know, telling her how happy they were. And I didn't feel like I should do that. I don't feel like congratulating her on keeping on going in this situation that is a mortal sin. And so I didn't congratulate her. And what I did tell her was, God loves each of you. He's always there for you. And there are wonderful parishes close by for you to choose from. So that is what I said, and I got the sense she was not very happy with me because she didn't reply to me. She replied very, you know, lovingly to the other aunts, but not to me. So I guess I just wanted, there's no one in the family that I can really, you know, I mean, I did talk to her mother about it, but I mean, do you think I did the right thing by not congratulating her like the other aunts did?
Well, Daisy, I think you did the absolute right thing. I would not even question that. You know, oftentimes, oftentimes we're put in very tough situations. And this young woman has put the whole family in a tough situation where she wants them, you know, she wants the approbation of the family, the applauding, the okay of the family to continue to live in sin. And we cannot applaud people living in sin. We cannot encourage people to live in sin. We cannot provide them with housing to live in sin. We can't applaud them when they provide housing for themselves to live in sin. The fact of the matter is that's not the measure of your love for her. You love her enough to try to give her the truth. Now, what I find, you know, slightly discouraging and a little stunning is that the very same aunts who, you know, were suggesting that she do otherwise when this was first happening back in the getting into the apartment day, it, you know, is now congratulating her. And I think that that shows how easy it is for us to become subject to the wily tactics of the evil one and the immorality of the day and time in which we're living. It's easy to go along with the crowd. It's very difficult to stand contradictory to the crowd. Now, we don't want to be those kinds of people who contradict everything, but when we see someone compromising their eternal salvation, we have to speak the truth to them, even though it can be difficult and hard. I think that you were very loving in your response to her. I think that you were encouraging in your response to her. I think you were planting seeds in your response to her, seeds that hopefully will one day bear fruit as she decides to follow up on what it is that you are advising her to do. You know, these young people oftentimes will say, well, we're moving in together because, you know, we want to save money, or we're moving in together to see if it's going to work. Those are not good reasons for moving in together. Mm-hmm. But then exactly what happens here has happened here happens. And that is that they continue to live in that situation with no commitment. Now, they might say they have a commitment, but if you have a commitment, why are you not bringing that before the throne of God? Why are you not writing your situation? So, you know, I think that you did exactly the right thing. I don't think it was easy for you. Family might not really be happy with you. She might not be happy with you. But you're not in this for the happiness of other people. You're in this for giving people that seed of faith, that truth that they need to have to live their lives right. You're in it for the long haul of that person's salvation, not in it for the short haul of their temporary, fleeting, transient happiness. So, you know, Daisy, I congratulate you for it. I think that you're a fine witness, and I think that you offered this young woman a lifeline for all eternity, you know, not some kind of a little rope that might pull her through a very temporary moment in her life. So I congratulate you for the stand that you took.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeanette. You make me feel like, you know, I think all of us Women of Grace listeners and EWTN listeners, we're like soldiers, and sometimes we just need to come, and you're like our lieutenant, and you give us a boost forward because it is hard. You know, I carried her when she was a baby at baptism and at her communion, and it meant something to me. I took it seriously, and it hurts. It does.
Sure, it
when
does.
You feel them turning away from you because you're not giving in to what they want you to do. And I am consternated by my sisters. You know, I mean, I've talked to one of them about it, and their attitude is sort of like, well, you know, I'm going to support her. And, you know, that's the way they feel, that they're being loving towards her. But I feel like it's sending a mixed message, a dangerous mixed message. You know, she's lost right now, and that kind of, you know, mixed message, I feel, is only going to confuse her even more, you know, the wrong way. And but I mean, I can't force them, you know, to see, you know, what I would like for them to see. And so yeah, I mean, they have the attitude like, well, we're going to, you know, go see the house and go celebrate with them. And I'm just sitting back like, I don't understand that. But I mean, there's nothing I can do but do what I think is right towards her as her godmother. Yes. So
well, and you know, Daisy, you do have that obligation and that duty by way of being her grandmother. I mean, her godmother. You have to be attentive to her soul. That's your call, and that's the responsibility that you took when you held her as a baby in your arms and she was baptized in Christ Jesus. So yeah, and I'm sorry that's the way that it's going, but I you know, it tickles me when people say, you know, well, we're supporting her, but what are you supporting her in? You know, to support her is to lift her up. It's to give her a backbone to help her to stand righteous and rightly. You know, I get the idea that they don't want to lose communication with her, and neither should you want to lose communication with her. But that communication cannot be by way of not letting her know that the decisions that she's making are harmful for her immortal soul. And also, not just that too, but you know, for the witness that she's meant by virtue of her baptism to be in the world today, to stand in opposition to it. So Daisy, thanks for your call. I'm sure that your call has given an opportunity for individuals listening today to also gain some insight about situations that they know that are like that. We are often put into very uncomfortable positions today, but really the lack of comfort comes by way of the you know, desire to in a certain sense to help our loved ones to walk through a very tenuous time. The discomfort comes because we're standing in opposition to the ways of the world. But that discomfort, we should find comfort in the discomfort, knowing that we are following the word of God and striving to help others to follow it too. So we take comfort in the fact that, yeah, there's discomfort here because this is contrary to the mores of the day and time. But those mores of the day and time are really outside of the will of God. They're outside of the way in which we are called to live. And therefore, I draw comfort from the fact that I'm choosing the opposition. So there's a certain kind of comfort in the discomfort. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear or not, but you know, I think that you've done the right thing, Daisy. So thank you so much, honey, for your call today, and I appreciate it very, very much. We want to go to Diana. Diana is in Rhode Island today, and we're eager to hear from Diana. Listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Hi, Diana. Are you there, Diana?
Hello. Hi, hello.
Hi, honey. You're on the air.
Yes. I have a question.
Sure.
So I was married for about 10 years. We had 4 children together. During my last pregnancy, I had decided that I was going to go for a divorce, and I tried to work it out with my cousin and everything else, and tried to go on a retreat, talk to my priest about it, and things just got from bad to worse, and I just felt it was, for me, it was the best decision at the moment to just go through with a divorce, and he never contested it. We divorced, and with our 4 children, we have a parenting plan and everything, relocated to the state that we live in now, and he pretty much immediately moved in with someone, kind of pretty much started his life. And, my question is, what's the best way to deal with an ex-spouse in a relationship that's just pretty severely broken? There's no communication in the past 4 years. There's also a no contact order. And, I've been contemplating, getting an annulment, for the past 5 or 6 years. And I keep going back and forth because I'm not sure if our situation would qualify for an annulment. And being that he's, for me personally, it's not because I want to get remarried or want to be in another relationship. I just feel like there's like an attachment there, and he's clearly moved on and he has another child, and I believe he's remarried. That's my understanding. I just kind of wanted to get some ideas on how to approach that.
Sure. Diana, you know, going through the annulment process is a very cathartic and healing thing. Whether the church grants the annulment, whether there's grounds or not, it's a very cathartic thing to do. And it's a very healing exercise to do. I understand this from people that I know who have gone through the annulment process. I've never gone through that process, so I don't know it personally, but I know it vicariously through people that I love. So it's not for you to determine whether or not you have grounds. It is for the church to determine. So I would not let that be an obstacle through, you know, your own thought process with regard to this. I would let the church make that decision. That being said, there are individuals out there who help us navigate that process. You know, the idea of nullity You know, really is based on the fact, and let me just say that the idea is probably not the right word to use, the theological reality of the annulment process is that when a church gives a decree of nullity, it means that in the eyes of God, this marriage never took place. It was not a covenantal union. It certainly was a civil union. So this has absolutely nothing to do with the civil union, the marriage, the license, the approval of the state. It has nothing to do with the legitimacy of the children. That legitimacy of the children comes by way, you know, of the fact that there was a civil marriage. That's the way that we understand that within the culture. So it has nothing to do with that. It doesn't render the children illegitimate. Lots of people have that misunderstanding. That's why I'm stressing it. What the church does is it takes a look at what was present at the time that the vows were being made. Was there an impediment that existed at the time the vows were being made? Was there an intentionality for fidelity to the vow, right? In other words, did the person intend to remain faithful to the person that they were marrying, or did the person not intend to remain faithful? That's one impediment. Was there a true consent? Did they come of their free will volition, or were they influenced in some way to get married? Very directly, forcibly, or even because of cultural situations and circumstances, conditions, such as, you know, a pregnancy out of wedlock. Well, it won't look good, so they should get married. Or did it come by way of a kind of substance abuse issue that would render the free will less capable of making a well-informed decision? So they look at things like that. They look at canonical form. Did this marriage take place within a Catholic church? Are these two baptized Catholics who got married in a Catholic church? Did they get married outside of a Catholic church? Was the party that was Catholic get married by a justice of the peace? They look at that. Stay with me. You hear that music. I've got to go to the break and I'll come right back. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today, friends.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Always encouraging you to give us a call here. Let me give you that 800 number. Well, it's a toll-free number. It's not really 800. It's 833. So it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. It's toll free for you here in North America. Outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. In addition to that, we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Leave your question or comment there, and we will be happy to take it and address it on the air. Michael McCall is out there on social media, and I got to tell you, you're being very quiet out there, so he doesn't have much to do. So please keep the man busy. Those of you that are with us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, shoot us a question or shoot us a comment. We'd love to hear from you today, as we would for those of you that can call in, 833-288-EWTN. Diana is with us from Rhode Island. She's talking about annulment. We're discussing it. We're talking about the ins and the outs of it. We're talking about the fact of the matter that obviously when the church issues a decree of nullity, it means that there was never a covenantal union, that the sacrament itself did not take place because there was an impediment present at the time that the vows were being pronounced that affected that union. So it's not what happens afterwards, it's what happens there. So I was outlining for Diana what some of those considerations are that the church would look at. And so Diana, you know, I like to sum it up with the three C's. I was giving you for instances prior to the break, but the best way to remember, you know, what is it that the church looks at is by way of the three C's. Was there consent? Right? So did this come from a free will decision? meaning that it wasn't influenced or forced, and that there was truly no encumbrance that would make a person unable to make that decision, such as a mental condition or such as a substance abuse issue. Two people arrive at the church and they're drunk. Well, you know, that could impact something. So we look at that. So there's that. Then there's also capacity. Was there capacity to make that decision? What does that mean? Well, was the person, fully able mentally and physically and emotionally and psychologically to make that decision? It matters in all of those categories. Was there capacity? We know that it is through the Marriage Act that a marriage is consummated. So is there capacity for that act? If there's not, that's an issue. In addition to that, is that person mentally sufficient to make that decision? Or is there an encumbrance there for some reason that would render them somewhat incapable of making that decision? So there's the capacity. And then the final one I was mentioning to you prior to the break was canonical form, meaning that if you're a baptized Catholic, you need to be married through the sacrament. That's what the church recognizes, right? That's what God recognizes, is the sacrament, not a civil marriage. So did this person get married by a justice of the peace? If this is a baptized Catholic, did they get married by a Protestant minister without dispensation by the church? So all of those things come into play. Then, just to flesh this out a little bit more for you, Diana, there are nuances to each of these things, nuances that we might not see, but might come out as we're working through the dossier, the document that we have to fill out in the paperwork to turn into the tribunal in the diocese. And I was saying to you that there are individuals who are quite skilled at helping somebody walk through that. And because they deal with this all of the time, they might have a capacity to see into the situation potentials that we might not see at first glance. Plus, there's this too. You know, the person that's doing that paperwork is oftentimes very subjective in what they're seeing. They're seeing it from the inside, where somebody else that they might be working with to go through that process is looking at it more objectively, and they can see things that sometimes our emotions will not let us see. So all of that being said, I would encourage you to find someone like that, for you not to make the decision whether or not, you know, you have grounds or not. Work with somebody, go through the paperwork, send it in, and let the church make the decision, especially if you're feeling prompted in this direction, which it sounds like you are. Now, I've spoken a whole bunch, and you might have a question or two, so I'm going to give you that opportunity. So what do you think about what you've heard?
It's been very helpful, and I think I am going to go to the local priest here and start the conversation.
Yes.
I've been a lot of back and forth for the past couple of years, mm-hmm. Contemplating, like, is this the right thing to do? Is it was the wrong thing to do? It just opens up a whole can of worms just to think about it. And I also think about my children, because we originally married civilly before having children. And then maybe 4 or 5 years later, we went and we had moved to another state and joined a church. And we were both Catholic, but we just decided to, I don't know the word,
convalidate.
Convalidate. Yes. And at the time, I had my third child, and we did the convalidation ceremony, and we baptized our third child. And my two oldest were the flower bearer and the ring bearer. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of hurts to, you know, that they witnessed that.
Right. Well, you know, Diana, the best thing for you to do is to put into play what you're discussing here, and that is to go talk with a priest, get the process started. Oftentimes, you say that there's no real communication between you and your your ex-husband, but here's the thing. Oftentimes people think, well, what if they don't cooperate? Well, most typically that's not going to change anything. They don't have to cooperate. They're given the opportunity to cooperate. They're given their opportunity. They're given their day in court, basically, right? To say what it is that they want to say. He's moved on in his life. He may or may not respond. It's not going to influence the decision of the church if he doesn't respond. It doesn't sound as though, there's anything there that could possibly hinder things from that side. So I would, all you can do is move forward and see where it takes you. And then mm-hmm. whatever the decision is what the decision is. And you have the opportunity to, at least have the peace of mind that you followed through with where you feel as though you're being prompted. So that's what I would do if I were you, Diane. Diana, that's what I would do.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. God bless you. Yeah, and thank you very much for your call, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have similar questions. And I just want to say this about that, folks, too. You know, people are under the impression that the church just, hands out, decrees of nullity. Like they're flyers for a concert or something. The church does not do that. The church takes this very, very seriously. But we are living in a day and time. We are living in a very unique moment in the history of man. We don't have the public witness of good marriages that once was the backbone of our culture. In addition to that, we are living in a society that has no respect for marriage. We're living in a society that's a disposable society. Everything is disposable, including marriages and relationships. We're living in a society of serial divorce. We're living in a society of serial remarriage. We're living in a society where, the whole culture, applauds people living together, like our first caller situation, Daisy's situation with her goddaughter. Holy Mother Church is very careful, and Holy Mother Church is very understanding, and she will dig deeply into all of these situations and look at them. And, I think that just given the circumstances of the day and time, I remember I talked with a priest many years ago, and I said, well, they say that there's just far too many divorces in the United States when you look at the whole scope, annulments that are granted in the United States, when you look at the whole scope of annulments that are granted in the totality of the church, so many of them come from the United States. And this priest said, that's true, Johnette. But the condition here in the United States is not the same as it is in other countries. He said, I am surprised that there are not more decrees of nullity that are granted. So we're living in a very flawed world. This is not what we want. Our call as married couples is to be a sign of contradiction. Our call is to do what Daisy did, to speak truth into the darkness of the culture and truth into the darkness of the lives of those that we love, even though it's hard. That's the call. You've been entrusted with this sacred mission today by virtue of your baptism and by God's selection of you for this moment in time. And he does expect big things from us. And he's given us every opportunity. Look at the sacraments that we have. Look at the fact that we've got EWTN radio. Look at the fact that we have EWTN television. Look at the fact that we have Catholic podcasts that are just proliferating over social media today. Look at the opportunity that we have to live according to a knowledgeable faith. We have access to grow in our faith, and we'll be held accountable for the extent to which we appropriate those gifts that are given to us at this time, and to the extent that we live the truth of it. So just saying. Let's go to Jamie. Jamie's a first-time caller calling from New Mexico today. Listening to us via YouTube. Jamie, I'm ringing my bell. I don't want to shatter your ears with it, though. How are you today?
I'm good. God bless you, Johnette. I just have a comment. I just wanted to encourage everybody out there who is saying something to a family member that's living with somebody and they're not married, and you know, anybody who's saying something about that or is concerned about that, because I lived with a lady that I was engaged to for 3 years, and then we broke up, never got married, and it was a blessing that we broke up, but it hurt a lot, too, and we weren't happy while we were living together. Looking back, I can see that now. So anybody who's concerned about that or saying something about that, I just want you to take courage, because you're doing the right thing.
Well, gee, Jamie, I'll tell you, it takes a lot of courage on your part to basically make a public confession about this today. We can't give you absolution, but I hope that you've received that. And also to admit that this was a mistake. And it is a mistake. And it doesn't set the relationship out on the best foot, because sin is involved in it. So, you know, there's all that needs to be healed. And, you know, it isn't easy, but your own experience in sharing that witness and that testimony, I think, is an encouragement to anyone else, in addition to Daisy, who is struggling with this problem or this concern for a loved one, to be able to speak that truth to that situation. So, Jamie, thank you so very much for being a man of courage today and a man of grace.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Keep doing it, Jamie.
I will.
I know you will. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, you see, there you go. So those are the kinds of calls that I think tell us, yeah, you know, there is something to be said for what it is that we're proclaiming. And how could there not be, when what we're proclaiming is the truth, the fullness of the truth? We've got Jack weighing in. He says, lack of good marriage prep leads to greater numbers of invalid marriages. And you're absolutely right about that. Jack and I often talk on Monthly Marriage Monday, which will be coming up, probably the second week of June, given the fact that, maybe the first week of June. I've got my dates all confused in my mind. Just ignore that. Anyway, Jack often makes mention on Monthly Marriage Monday that, you know, while all other vocations require states in life within the church require much preparation. Look at a priest, for example. Look at a religious. Marriage does not. What's required? A weekend. What kind of preparation is that? So young couples really, I don't think, have the marriage preparation that they need. And you couple that with the fact that so very often the examples that are out there are so weak and so poor. It's no wonder there are so many invalid marriages today. Now, just want to add a caveat. Even if there was an impediment, if people are living that sacrament of matrimony, the church always assumes validity of the sacrament. She starts with that premise. She assumes validity of the sacrament. That's why it has to be proven that it wasn't valid. That's what the decree of nullity is all about. Let's go to Mary. Mary is in Oklahoma today, listening to us via, I've got to whisper this, Alexa. Okay, Mary, how are you? Hello, Mary, you're on the air. Mary? Okay, I'm not sure where Mary went. I'm trying for you, Mary. Okay. I don't know why we don't have Mary with us. So we're going to put a hold on that for just a moment. And I'm going to give you some good news. And here is the good news. We have two young saints that are going to be canonized in the Jubilee year 2025. And I'm so happy to share this news with you. I am. I'm just so excited about it. Both Carlos Acutos and Pierre Giorgio Frassetti are going to be canonized in the Jubilee year. So that's all, you know, just very, very new, breaking news, so to speak. I've heard rumors about it, but here now it is official. So Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati will be canonized during Jubilee year 2025. And we need these young saints. I am so happy that Pope Francis is raising up these young saints. Our people, our young people today, our young adults today need these signs and need these witnesses. So I'm so grateful for this great opportunity. And congratulations, Blessed Carlo Acutis. Congratulations, Blessed Père Giorgio Frassati. Let's go to Eric. Eric is with us, first time caller in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting is the way. He is with us, ringing my bell for you. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, ma'am. How are you?
Very, very, very good.
Good.
So you've got something to share with us.
Your second caller that was talking about going through the annulment. I'm currently going through that process right now. And I feel a spiritual connection. And as I said, I'm going through the process right now, and I can already feel detachment coming. And it's very powerful and it's uplifting, and I just wanted to encourage that second caller to go ahead and do it.
Well, Eric, I'm so happy that you're calling in to encourage Diana. And, you know, the fact that you're saying that you're going through the process, it's an awesome process, and you're already feeling a detachment is very important because, you know,
the
union between a man and a woman creates a bond. You know, whether it's a sinful action or whether it is an action, you know, underneath the beautiful, beautiful covenantal reality of the sacrament of matrimony, it creates a bond. And that bond, you know, the annulment process takes care of that bond so that there is a certain kind of reestablishment of the parties that are involved, a new coming to center within themselves. So I'm glad that you're going through the process. Was it difficult for you to go through the paperwork end of it, or is that what you're working through right now?
I've already submitted the paperwork. I wrestled for it for years, and I don't know if I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to, you know, finally do it. One thing that I did do any time that I would think about her, I would pray for it, whether it was you know, a Hail Mary or whatever it was, and that really strengthened my prayer life. I continue to do it. So I would just encourage people, you know, if you're thinking about your ex, you know, maybe just pray for them, pray for the pearls of their soul or you know, something like that. It helped me out tremendously.
And boy, Eric, that's wonderful. You know, and may I just, I really want to affirm you in what you're sharing here. The fact of the matter is, you know, we are told by our Lord, given a divine and holy mandate, that we have to forgive, that we have got to let go. And this is one of the ways in which we do let go, by praying for the person who's injured us. And that takes a lot of moral fortitude to be able to do that. It takes a lot of interior resolve to be able to come to that point where we can actually pray for the person. And of course, in this kind of a situation where you've been so close as husband and wife, you know, it really causes a person to dig deep and to die to self to be able to do that. But that in and of itself is a healing process. You know, as I share with Diana, I've never gone through this situation in my life. I've been through other situations, though, where I have been deeply injured by others. And, you know, always resorting to that praying for them on the advice and counsel of a priest many years ago when I first had reverted back to the faith and realized that this wound that I thought was resolved was not at all resolved. And he told me I had to pray for the person, and I didn't want to. But he helped me to begin. And I can tell you that that's what set me free from the anger. Actually was absolutely instrumental in the healing process. So doing this for someone that you're that close to, where you've had that kind of a connection, really, really, really brings the sweet balm of the Holy Spirit. And just even beginning it is a sign of how deeply rooted you are in your faith and your desire to draw it nearer to our Lord in all things. That's beautiful, Eric.
And I will say one other thing. I had a conversation with myself, and I made it a point to, you know, there's enough hate in this world, and I made a vow to myself that I wasn't going to add to this world. I was going to do the opposite. You said earlier, go against the crowd.
Yes.
And I made a conscious effort to try and do that, and I struggle with it every day, but that was something that helped me in this, because it was a deep wound. I was betrayed.
I'm so sorry, Eric.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, in my situation, and specific to the incident that I was relating to when I sought guidance and counseling, I came to see through praying for this individual that this individual never could have hurt me as this individual hurt me had this individual known the love of God. And so when we're betrayed as you've been betrayed, it's oftentimes coming or stemming from a wound in the heart, and this person certainly doesn't know the depths of God's love for them. And that gives us something to stand on to begin that prayer with. And you've found that. What a strong man you are. I admire you, and I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for your testimony today because you've instructed all of us. So God bless you for your call, Eric, and God bless all of you. God bless you today, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow morning. Until then, God bless you now. Bye-bye.